Interview with Ashank, conducted by Pankhuri.
So just introduce yourself. Where do you come from? What are you studying? And when did you come to this industry? First with your name.
Right, I'm Ashank. I'm from Karnataka. Although, by family from Kerala, but I've stayed in Karnataka all my life. And I joined this university 2 years ago. Yeah, and I'm leaving it in a few days, I suppose. Yeah.
And what course are you doing?
I'm doing my master's in sociology.
And are you in an organization?
I am. Collective.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your family. Who all are at home?
Parents and a sister. Elder sister.
So we're going to be talking about the lockdown movement that happened it was going on till at least till very recently.
Uh-huh.
So to what extent were you involved in the movement and the protests that unfolded on campus, and in what capacity?
I think it'd be fair to say that I was quite involved. Like a large part of time and effort went into that. Because from the start of the semester, this semester particularly, I've been more active. In the lockdown, in the last phase, I wasn't as active as in the initial phases. That's the last week particularly. In the capacity, I participate in the capacity of as a member of a collective. But I think it also came across to certain people that I was also participating as an individual, not necessarily following.
Can you tell me a little bit about the trigger event that happened and what exactly was the issue? Or if there were a number of issues.
Right, so I think from the start of the semester, what really, took off was the circular which made it mandatory for students to provide attendance. That's when we can say the movement started. Initially there was open hours in which I also participated in capacity as a SFC member. So from the open hours that took place regarding attendance till the lockdown. But there was a continuity, but not entirely. In the middle, there was a sort of lull following the get out of the ad block. After lifting that, there was a lull. The particular event, I think, that sparked off the lockdowns that occurred were the issue suspending or transferring the office of chairpersons of certain centers and the dean of the School of Arts and Aesthetics from who they were to because they have apparently not followed the mandatory attendance rules or have not enforced it. Yeah.
Were there similar issues that had been had the administration been doing similar things before this? You said arbitrarily changing things. So some arbitrary things that the administration had been doing.
I think this is the first time that I've known that deans and chairpersons were. But it's occurred that in the AC, the Academic Council meetings, that minutes have been forged or that certain agendas have been included without discussion and have been passed also without discussion deliberation.
And were you involved in protests against those issues that came up in the past?
Yeah.
So what were the main demands of the movement? And did they change over time, or did newer demands added?
Yeah, it did change. I think at the start of the semester, the attendance notice had just come out, and following a second notice which connected attendance to hostel facilities, medical facilities, and scholarship facilities. yeah, that was the demand was to roll back the rule of mandatory attendance. But at the second phase of the movement, I think the lockdown period, we had yeah tried to change the narrative from simply being that of attendance to including other demands of yeah sexual harassment, particularly the jury and yeah in the School of Life Sciences, and reservations. In fact, at that point of time, our attendance took a a step back.
What is the School of Life Sciences incident?
In the School of Life Sciences, a professor, Atul Jori, was, 8 women, I think, had filed FIRs against him, accusing him of sexual harassment. It appears that all of them were students of his, under his mentorship in his lab. Following that, I think the SLS life sciences students organized themselves to demand his suspension.
Would you say there were any leaders of this movement?
Of the SLS?
The whole
okay.
The whole thing.
Particularly in the life sciences, I think there was one. I think she's the SFC in life sciences, Preeti, who's been quite active. At least visibly so. I don't know if there have been other people who have helped in organizing alongside her. We generally the movement regarding attendance, and then which later went on to lockdown. No, I don't think there's any particular leadership that emerged. The union participated along with multiple organizations on campus, but I think what can be noted is that in this particular semester, and I think particularly because of the nature of attendance, student faculty committee members, that's the SFCs from each center, also took an active part in organizing the students.
Can you tell me about some specific events or personal experiences that you had from in this movement? Like maybe some decision-making meetings, or how did it come about? Like, how was the mode of protest decided? I remember there was a big march also that was taken up.
Right. The march, I don't think I did not participate in the march. In fact, I think I was busy at that time. But at the very start, once the attendance issue was raised, I think like to talk about the open house that was conducted. The mode of protest then was basically the call the call of the union, that which was to boycott attendance. Some of us across centers had felt that this was not sufficient, that in fact the boycott of attendance would not hold good under pressure from the administration and the faculty within certain centers. And we had tried to pressurize the union to take a more decisive step in terms of direct action or like protest. We also had organized around the lines of SFCs at that point of time. So SFCs primarily from CHS, me from socio, some people from the international studies masters in SIS, and others and certain other centers had tried to organize an open house which was called to deliberate what mode of action can be taken, and the resolution was to be given to the union. The proposals we had gotten or that we had decided upon before the open house was that we could move for the we could move for a blockade of the North Gate.
You mean boycott of attendance?
Yeah, apart from the boycott of attendance, a blockade of the North Gate, a Gerawati ad block, or a entire strike and lockdown of the schools. But I think if you're asking if you're asking about personal experience, I think what was really interesting was at that point of time, I think for the first time I was trying to yeah, what I had only heard about earlier, like assess what the general feel, in quotes, feel of the campus may be, like what mood perhaps people in different centers. So it became very necessary to talk to different people from different centers and try to get some general opinion of what the class may be feeling, and therefore like suggest only like certain modes of protest. This and also like, yeah, it, I mean, personally I thought that it would become quite a task to like pressurize the union to take a step to pressurize the admin.
So let's talk about mobilization, because you're saying, so as far as I understand, like, so students were sitting outside the schools for entire days, right? Not letting the school open and function.
Right.
So how did the mobilization happen for this? Like, what modes of like, did you bring out posters, pamphlets?
Yeah, the lockdown phase, I think, in fact, mobilization efforts weren't very great. It started off in a very decentralized manner, that multiple centers were participating.
Right.
So the center I'm part of, the Center for the Study of Social Systems, through a GBM in our center, we had decided that we'll lock the offices of our center. Another center, the Economics Center for Economic Studies, had also passed a similar resolution. And since we're in the same building, we tried to convince the other centers, and which, I mean, they agreed. And therefore, entirely locked down the building itself. So, I mean, that can be one, like, perhaps one, understanding of mobilization. But I think, the fact that it was extremely decentralized and the union had not really given a formal call, although they had repeatedly assured us that they were in support of the lockdown. I think, I don't think mobilization happened very well, in fact. It was a lot of stress on, I think, the relatively fewer number of people who remained outside the buildings, right, keeping it locked down.
I remember there was the center-wide WhatsApp groups were very active. Like, lots of conversations were happening on WhatsApp groups.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think any other social media was used for giving calls or?
I'm not very active on Facebook, so I wouldn't particularly know about Facebook. But yeah, WhatsApp was. Apart from that, certain parchas were got by those strikers at the lockdown venues. But no, I think most of the discussions that took place on whether to continue with the lockdown or not were primarily based within the WhatsApp groups of each class.
Right. Was the movement covered at all by the media?
The initial phase of it with attendance and the grabbing of the ad block, yes, but I think at the lockdown point, not really. In fact, we were hoping that some media coverage would occur and therefore some pressure would be built on the admin. But it so appears that media did not cover it.
I remember some coverage did happen for the Atul Jari issue.
Right.
Yeah. I'm assuming that you would have some idea, but if you don't, that's fine. Do you know how the media was contacted? Like, whether the media was contacted at all?
No, I'm afraid I don't. I think union members are mostly in charge of this. But yeah.
So coming to the repercussions. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
If you want to add something.
Yeah, something that I remembered. Social media. YouTube, certain channels were created and became really active.
Okay.
SAR Talks Back was one channel, with certain students of SAR, they had locked down their school too. Primarily like,
SAR is School of Arts and
School of Arts and Aesthetics, right. Okay.
So the channel was called SAR Talks Back.
SAR Talks Back.
Okay. Yeah. Coming to repercussions, like, what has been the reaction of the university administration? Were any of the demands met?
No.
Yes. Were there any talks held with the university administration?
I think from, especially the union side, that was mostly a dismissal of the union's demands. But in the latter part of the lockdown phase, certain individuals had in fact grouped themselves and gone to meet the unions, gone to meet the administrative officials. I think with them there was a better dialogue. I mean, there was at least appointments given, which apparently the union members weren't given appointments. Hmm. Yeah, so yeah, that happened.
Did you encounter any state or government agencies during the course of the movement? Because, I mean, the Atul Jhari case, of course, I mean, that became a police case.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, was the police involved in any way?
Within the campus, no. But the lockdown phase, there was always this panicky state.
Just explain that a little bit.
Yeah, that police may enter the campus and open the schools and detain students while doing so. But I generally didn't think that would happen.
Okay.
Because yeah, that would lead to I think a situation that wouldn't be favorable for the administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, there was a state of like panic.
Do you think the movement found any resonance outside the campus?
No, especially not on attendance. With regard to the Atul Jhari case, definitely. I think there was one, there was a letter circulated by, signed, and circulated within, within scientists, condemning the incidents of sexual violence and asking for his suspension. So that, yeah, there was some resonance for that. And I think there was a little, there was some talk of how reservations should be implemented in at least in DU, because similar issues have been going on there.
One of the demands that came up, or at least some organizations were pushing for it, as far as I know, was the scuttling of the reservations for the students coming from marginalized backgrounds. So where did that come up later, or like how did that become a part of the movement, or did it at all?
It came up later, not in the first phase where it was where only attendance was being talked about. Once various centers just started the lockdown, that point of time, at least in I know better for my center, that apart from attendance, we had in fact within the GBM we had decided that sexual harassment and reservations would take would be listed in the demands, and prominently so. But I think that was also the time when JNU TA had got out a report saying that over the last 2 years especially that reservations haven't been implemented. Following the UGC implementation of the UGC Gazette on seat cuts.
Okay. Did your family know that you were involved in these protests? If they did, then how did they react? Also, your friends outside campus.
The family knew I was involved, but they didn't know the details. They didn't know that I was actively, part of it in terms of being part of the lockdown or maybe part of organizing and mobilizing. They didn't know I was also affiliated with an organization. Friends outside campus? Yeah, I think especially my friends from my bachelor's, they knew because that was also the time when TIS, Tata Institute of Social Sciences, was also involved in a movement. Regarding fee hikes and regarding GOI scholarships not being given for SCST students, OBC students.
Did you in any way feel targeted by the university administration or any group because of participating, say teachers who were not in favor of the not just you, say other people also involved in this woman?
Yeah, no, I don't think, I mean, I was singled out and, yeah, I mean, I haven't felt so, not by the university administration, nor by faculty. Although the faculty, it hasn't been like a very like cordial relationship. But I think other people have been. Yeah, as of now, I don't think all too many circulars have come out. I mean, proctorial inquiries have been initiated against those participating in this last movement.
But are you expecting them?
Yeah. yeah.
So, like now that the movement is effectively not going on anymore.
Right.
So, how do you evaluate the movement, like in hindsight? And can you tell us a little bit about, say, some mistakes or some things that you would have done differently? I mean, you can also say you wouldn't
No.
do anything differently. That's fine. Because you said something about, like, there's some shortcomings in mobilization and things like that. So.
Yeah, I think this last part, especially the lockdown phase, was because it was initiated by centers, and in some centers, certain individuals were more prominent, and organizations later, joined lockdown in support. I think there was a general discontent, especially among students active in these centers, that organizations are not living up to, what is expected of them. And I think from the organization side, there was, at certain times, almost dismissal of these individuals as whatever, radical revolutionary individuals. But I think, some reflexivity on the part of organizations should also, should happen. I mean, I'm also part of an organization, I'm saying that. I think, effectively, organizations were not able to hold the union accountable and pressurize them. I mean, they could have published the minutes of, in hindsight, they could have published the minutes of the SFC meetings so that, it was known to the general student community, and the union would be pressurized to follow up on its promise of formally supporting the lockdown movement. That's one thing. And generally, I don't think these individuals participating from various centers also had much sense of how important it was to organize and mobilize. And whatever they tried to do, there was also an antagonistic stance towards organizations, almost not wanting them to participate, which didn't help either. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm just going back a little bit. Can you explain these SFC meetings and just start with what SFC is,
okay,
and then what was the role of the SFCs here, and how often did these SFC meetings happen? And also just a little bit about this process, because I think it's quite particular to this movement.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The SFCs. Are the student faculty committee members. Basically, they're represented from representatives elected from each center, from each class of the center. And they're primarily working within the center, holding apparently a link of communication between the faculty of the center and the students. From what I know, it's come to be seen that, the role of the SFCs is largely been roles of class representatives. Basically, they have to convey information or certain material from the faculty to the students,
yeah.
Perhaps the creation of Google groups, that sort of petty work. But I think initially how it perhaps may have been envisioned, and how some of us did think of SFCs, were that they would play a role in the union structure itself.
Hmm.
That, the union wouldn't be simply comprising of the four office bearers or the counselors, would actually go much deeper down into the classrooms. And therefore would be able to, build opinion, participate within classes as, in times of movement.
Yeah.
But also within center, specific issues of how maybe pedagogy should be conducted, or if there were there are issues of discrimination of that sort, yeah, I think SFCs can play a role in that.
So, for this movement, how often did the SFC meetings happen and how were they coordinated? Like, was the union coordinating them?
The union was coordinating them, yeah. I mean, there are, I mean, within the center, SFC meetings are supposed to occur regularly. Yeah, but in a lot of centers, the SFC posts are redundant. So when the union did begin to mobilize via SFCs, I think at that point of time, yeah, multiple centers also like, the SFCs who, which I mean, who really may not have been active, started coming for the meetings, especially because I think attendance affected, seemed to affect like every student.
And how
often were they conducted?
Like during, so the movement I think went on for about a month, maybe, give or take.
The lockdown part of it?
No, all of it. Like I mean, from the GBM.
From the open house to, no, yeah. I think more than that.
More than that, yeah.
At least 2.5 months.
Okay, at least 2.5 months. So how many maybe times do you think months. The SFC has met during that time? Approximately.
I think just about, yeah, 10 times with okay. the union, yeah. These were all SFC meetings.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe 8, yeah.
Okay. Maybe. do you think what is happening on your campus right now, it compares to, like, particularly in this movement, it compares to what is happening in other campuses in the country? Like, are there similar things happening in other campuses?
Yeah, and yeah, I think in certain places to a greater degree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because JNU is also in the capital.
Right, so yeah, and therefore we tend to get a lot of attention.
Hmm.
Also following Feb 9th.
Yeah.
Yeah, we seem to have more attention.
Feb 9th, you're referring to the Stanford JNU movement. Right. Right. Do you think there are other movements that compare to the lockdown movement that happened here?
Comparing by what?
Comparing mode of protest.
The Girao of the ad block during the time of Najib's disappearance. I mean, just following it. I think that was yeah.
Yeah.
But lockdown of schools, no. There was the Occupy ad block. Which happened last semester?
Yeah.
Which may it can also be like.
Yeah, but that's like on this campus. Do you think there are other things happening in other campuses?
Other campuses, I mean, right now TIS comes into mind.
Okay. TIS in Bombay.
Yeah. But also in Tuljapur, Hyderabad, and Guwahati.
Okay.
So,
okay. At a personal level, do you think something has changed after participating in this movement? Like the way you viewed activism, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, certain questions of how. Yeah, two questions actually. What role organizations should play and how. People, yeah, should come to a decision of. On what mode of protest and. Yeah, what direct action should be taken? Yeah, that these are two questions. Like, what direct action should be taken, and what role organizations play? These two have been something that's been revolving throughout the semester, or especially in the end of the semester. Yeah.
Okay. In hindsight, I mean, you said something about organization, information dissemination, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, everybody should do collectively. Personally, would you do something differently?
No, I don't quite get it.
I'm saying that, I mean, you're talking about the role of the union, you're talking about a role of the organizations, things like that. Do
mm-hmm.
you think you would do something differently? Like if you were, if that this movement were to happen again?
Yeah.
You can say no also.
I mean, not particularly this, but the Sabarmati disruption of the screening.
Okay.
That I may have, yeah. Yeah, I may think about it again. So
explain that a little bit. So Sabarmati,
right. There's a screening of, I think the film was named In the Name of Love,
yeah.
which can be seen as propaganda on love jihad and a communal film. Basically, people at the protest, or some of them, the initial, like, it was 5-6 women who went up and disrupted it to speak of, and then later others joined. So following that, I think generally, especially on social media, it played out as to how decision making should have gone about, or should that mode of protest that's disrupting the film screening should have taken place. Yeah, so basically my involvement in that, because I think I too was one of the people who disrupted the.
Tell me, you said that your course is finishing soon. So tell me about your plans.
I'd like to stay in Delhi, because that just allows me to bank on whatever the people and support system I have here, and it also allows me to I've been thinking that if I have either a 9-to-5 job or something of a research assistant type job, I can also engage politically with the time that I have left. Not necessarily within JNU, but also doing other things outside of JNU.
Are you planning to come back to JNU?
maybe in a year or two.
Applying. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Ashan.
Thank you.